Well, good morning, and we're going to look at this psalm, so do please have your Bible open at page 631, this psalm of David. And if you're not familiar with it, by the side of this reading you have numbers, and we call those the verses, so I'll be referring to some of those verses as we go along. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for giving the Bible to us, your word to us today. Help us, Lord, as we look at it together, that you will open our hearts to understand more of who you are and how we should respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one of the songs that we've sang for the last 2 weeks, and I thought we'd better not ask to sing it again today, is "How Great, How Big Is Our God?" Great big God. But I wonder, how big is my God? And how big is your God? Well, this psalm is really good at telling us about how big God is. And I want us to think about this question as we look at it together. So if we look at verse 1, we see, first of all, that our God is king. King means that he is ruler. He is ruler over all the earth. And he, in verse 5, he is majestical. He's great, a great God that we have together. And we often sing it, but do we really know it? How powerful it is when we sing. But we sing that of God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. And yet, in our daily lives, we pretend that God can't see certain things. We pretend he doesn't know, and those things that we thought the other day didn't really matter because God doesn't really know. Well, is that a great big God? Not really, because sometimes the God whom we walk alongside by in our own minds is often smaller than he should be. So as we look at this psalm, we can see the greatness of God and his character. We see in verse 8 that he is rich in love, slow to anger, gracious and compassionate. So it means that even though he knows all about me, he knows those mistakes that I've made, we can come to him because he is rich in love and very patient with us. And this love and compassion that he has is for each one of us, for me and for you. God has goodness and love for all because he has made you and he has made me too. And then look at verse 13. You have to turn the page because it's the second part of verse 13. We see that God is trustworthy. What he says is true. His promises that we have here in the Bible are true for each one of us. Not sadly like many of the leaders of today, who say one thing one week and the next week they have to say, oh, well, yes, I got it wrong, I didn't do that. No, our God is trustworthy. And then we know too that he's a God of justice and fairness. Verse 17, he's just and fair in all that he does. There's no bias in what he says. No favoritism. We're all loved by our God. And so we see that we have a great God here. And yet so often we read these verses, we kind of know them, we know that he's trustworthy. And yet so often, what do we trust in? We trust perhaps in our partner. We trust in our friends. We trust in our wealth. We trust in our own abilities. When actually, God is the only true person who is trustworthy. And all these other things, friends can come and go. Our wealth can come and go. Our ability to do things can come and go. But God is always there. He is indeed faithful. And when we begin to see God in all his greatness, it changes everything. But so often, our God is too small. It's great when we come to church together and we can talk about God. But what about tomorrow morning? How big is your God? How big is my God tomorrow morning? Is God almost insignificant in my daily life or your daily life? Or is he really a great big God who is trustworthy, who holds us in his hands because he offers so much for us? And then we see that we have a God who intervenes in our world. Those he has created. So could I have the next one, please? So have we accepted all that God wants to give to us? Have I accepted all of God's gifts that he wants to bestow upon me? You see, the Lord God is the greatest giver of all. And he wants to keep on giving. In fact, we can't imagine the blessings that God wants to give to us. Look at verse 14. What do we see here? We see here that the Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. Does it sometimes seem that our burdens are more than we can bear? Maybe even this morning you feel like that. And we wonder how we can go on. We all have burdens to bear. But God is the great burden bearer. He wants to bear your burdens. He is able. He's able to lift us up because he is great and mighty. The question is, will we allow him to carry our burden for us? We have to come to him in helplessness and trust that he will take our burden upon himself. And then we have more of what he does. Verse 15, we see that God's eyes are upon us and he is the one who provides for us. We sometimes call God our Jehovah Jireh because he provides, he knows what we need, food, shelter, friendship. And also we know that he knows the other needs in our lives as individuals too. God provides for us. And verse 19, when we call to him, he saves us. He holds us fast, as the hymn goes. And this is where we realize all that Jesus has done. Jesus, who came to save us from ourselves, from our sin, as Matthew mentioned before we said that prayer of confession. God who rescues us from ourselves, from our selfishness, from our sinfulness. But when we are in a storm, he holds us fast. Walking past a lifeboat station recently, we looked at a poster, and on that poster, it says, when you get into difficulties on the sea, lie back and relax. Well, that might not be very easy. I don't think I'd find that very easy. But actually, in one sense, you know, that is what God tells us to do. When we're in a storm, go to our Lord God. Jesus will hold us in his hands, as we say in the song. And we can relax, knowing that he will look after us. He will save us. He will hold us fast. And he will find ways through that storm that we hadn't even dreamt of, because our God is a God of solutions. So he intervenes in our lives when we cry out to him, even when we've rebelled, even when we've done our own thing, even when we've ignored God completely. But crying out to God, he will hear your voice and deliver you and break the chains of sin. We see God's goodness in Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, we say. Or as one little girl said, he's God with skin on. We see in Jesus who God really is. And Jesus shows us God's desire to pour out his blessing, his help, and his hope. Through the blood of Jesus, we are cleansed, we are made in the image of God again. We are cleansed and purified. There's that book, isn't there, that many of you have read, either as children or maybe as grandparents. How much do you love me? And I think the book goes on to say, to the moon and back. But God says, I love you to the cross and back. Because Jesus died to help us, each one of us, so that we can be cleansed. He loved us so much that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to die in my place on the cross, in your place on that cross. And he's alive today. So sending his son to die for us, even when we do not deserve it. But there are so many more things God wants to do for us. Not only to save us from ourselves and from sin. He wants to help us. We are, when we are adopted by God, we become daughters and sons of God, who is the King of Kings. And we can live life to the full in Jesus' name. Have you ever thought of yourself as a prince or a princess? But that's what we are when we become followers of Jesus Christ. We are indeed God's people. We are his precious children. It changes everything when we realize that we are not alone. God's Holy Spirit is here to help us, to guide us, and to teach us. Our God is indeed a great big God. It gives us a reason for living. It gives us security to know that we are loved and valued, and we are called a son or daughter of the King of Kings. And so we have a purpose for living. We've been created in God's image to reflect his glory. Let's be always those who are so close to him that we receive all that he wants to give us. So how then do we respond to God? Well, David shows us in this psalm that we are to be a people of praise. As humans, we naturally ascribe praise to other people and things. We clap, don't we, when a singer hits that last note. Or we roar with the crowd, like we may have done at the Commonwealth Games in front of the television. Or maybe you actually went. When England, or maybe some of you are Scottish, I've forgotten about that. But, you know, when they're there and they're winning, it's great, isn't it? We roar with the crowd. But God has indeed designed us to enjoy greatness. And yet, how are we at praising God? So am I a praiser? If we don't give God glory and praise, we miss out on his true greatness. So how does David do this? How was it that David was able to write this psalm and many others to praise God? What help did David have to be able to do this? Well, if you look at this psalm, you can see what David is doing. And when I first knew that I was going to speak on this psalm, first thing I do is read it and then make some quick notes. And the thing that I noticed was that he says something about God and then he praises. Then he says something about God and praises again. And it's very important that we are able to do the same. But how good are we at reading God's word and not really reflect on what it means for me? You know, sometimes I have to confess that I'm reading my daily portion of scripture and then I think, what was that I read? Has anybody ever felt like that? Good, I'm glad. I'm not the only one. But you know, it's so easy to do that, isn't it? And it's so easy to think, oh, well, I know that anyway, and move on. But no, we are to meditate on God's word. So when we read, for example, in verse 8, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Instead of just sweeping over, yeah, we know that, move on. No, stop and think, well, how have I experienced God's grace, his compassion? When should the Lord have been angry with me, but has shown me patience and love? You see, it makes a whole difference when we actually apply God's word to ourselves and our own lives. And as I thought about that verse and thought of things in my own life when I know that God has been so patient with me, I have to praise him. I simply must praise and thank God. There's no other response possible. And I imagine David sitting alone there with his guitar, strumming along and reflecting upon his relationship with God. Or maybe you can't play the guitar like Andrew can. Maybe you can't play a musical instrument. But we can all speak the words of Scripture. And there's something about reading verses and speaking them out loud, because more of our senses are involved in what we're listening to. So try that. Reading a few verses out loud. Doesn't matter if somebody else can hear you in the house. Just go to a different room. I can hear John miles away when he's praying, but that's all right. So it doesn't matter, does it? We can speak out Scripture. It's life-giving. So will we do this? Can we take time to know that our God really is bigger, much higher and holier than we ever think? And the other point I want to make is David's choice. Don't think about that for the minute. That's gone up too early, but that's all right. Let's have a look at the next bit. Verse 1 and 2. What does David say? David says, I will exalt my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. That's the beginning of the psalm. The last verse of the psalm is, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. David made a decision. He decided that he was going to praise God, come what may. It was his choice. My mouth will speak of praise of the Lord. Can we make that same decision? That we will praise the Lord, come what may. Will we choose to be those people who praise God? Because God is always worthy of praise. And David's life wasn't always easy. I can't go into David's life now, but for those of you who can just reflect upon David's life, you know, he had to run for his life many times. He was a shepherd looking after sheep when the bears came, and oh, so many things that happened to David in his life. But he was a man who praised God. And each one of us here will have a life story full of ups and downs of life. I don't think there's anybody here this morning who isn't in that category. We've all had our ups and downs. But God never changes. God is always great. He is always worthy of our praise. And yes, it takes practice to be better at praise. So how do we move forward? Three R's: read, reflect, and respond. Well, first of all, we need to read Scripture, and if we're not doing it, we need to start to do it daily. Maybe only a few verses, but we need to reflect upon Scripture. What does it tell me about God? What does it say to me? How does that apply to my life? And respond, and then take time just to reflect upon what you have learned from Scripture and praise God and thank him for his great goodness to us. We will respond in praise when we see that indeed we have a great big God. And as we read Scripture and reflect on it, our God will become bigger and greater in our experience, and our relationship will be deeper and closer than ever. Amen.